Federal prosecutors this week described a nationwide scheme. Wealthy parents, they said, bought admission to elite colleges for their kids. They allegedly bought altered test scores, fake athletic records. And hearing this was especially disturbing for school officials who dedicate their careers to preventing just this kind of corruption. Carrie Young from member station WBUR in Boston reports on the process school officials are supposed to follow to verify a student's application.
When federal officials busted a huge college admissions scam, Terry Cowdery admits she was disappointed, especially by the role of sports coaches in the scheme.
I think admissions people count on athletic coaches to be our colleagues, to be representatives of the same institution that we represent.
Cowdery has been working in college admissions since the 1980s. She's got experience heading up admissions departments at places like Vanderbilt University, St. Lawrence, and Colby College in Maine. She argues this group of bad actors are likely a rare case because, in her experience, rooting out a fake test score was always pretty straightforward.
If a student had a very high score on the verbal portion of the SAT, but then we saw consistently weak grades in English, and we read a poorly written essay, we would likely question whether that SAT score was in fact valid.
Cowdery explains while admissions processes can vary at every school, generally officials can tell if a student is telling the truth about test scores, or even factors like being the president of the Spanish club, because the different parts of their application will reinforce each other.
So a student, for example, who indicates that they're involved in certain activities on their application, that's also mentioned in a letter of recommendation, or it is something that is in conversation when an admissions counselor meets the student.
That's a sentiment echoed by former Yale Assistant Admissions Director Ed Boland.
What often raises a red flag is when you feel like you're getting a sense of a different student from different sources.
Boland explains those red flags are cues to the admissions office to dig deeper, meaning a phone call to a school guidance counselor may be in order.
You're looking through for a through line, and you're looking through people saying consistent things about a student.
And Boland and Cowdery add, in their experience, most applications get reviewed by several sets of eyes before getting an official acceptance. So what about rooting out fraud on the consumer side? Brooke Daly with the Higher Education Consultants Association says most private admissions consultants today are members of a professional association like hers and are bound by a strict code of ethics.
We have four pillar values in our statement of standards and ethics. It includes sound advice, integrity, respect, and confidentiality.
She says it operates through a whistleblower system and an anonymous tip line.
It was developed so that in the industry of independent educational consulting, we can differentiate ourselves, that we are operating ethically and that we're doing good work with our students.
Ann Daly explains the code is constantly reviewed by group leaders so that as times change, so do the policies. For NPR News, I'm Carrie Young in Boston.